Amen. If stuff like that offends people, I tell you, the Bible said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And I decided a long time ago, I'm just going to say it like it is, and if people don't like it, they can just get over it. Amen. And I've never pastored a church where I wasn't the pastor. Amen. And that's the way it's going to be here. And if you're visiting here and you think that's pretty rough, and that's just the way it is. Amen. Sounds pretty mean, don't it? But that's the Bible. That's the way the Bible teaches it. Amen. And if you can't conform to my rules and my way of seeing things, then you're going to have a problem around here. Amen. If I pass a rule or something and say it's going to be a certain way, it's going to be that way. That's just the way it's going to be. That's the way it is at my house. The Bible says if a man can't control the house of God, his own household, how can he control the house of God? How can he run the house of the Lord? So that's why it's very important that a preacher control his own house. Everybody dropping their head, we ain't reading yet. I'm talking to you about a man having some backbone. I'm about tired of preachers being sissies. And people can't take it no more. Everybody gets offended at everything. This is the most sissified society I've ever seen in my life. Amen. Everybody gets offended. Somebody got offended last week because somebody had an Obama mask on at a rodeo. And he got banned from the rodeo for his entire life. He can't ever go to work in a rodeo for the rest of his life. Ain't that insane? Should have gave him a bonus and let the bull run over him. Crazy. Amen. Now that I made half of you mad, let's have some preaching. Numbers 32. I want to preach on something this morning that you're going to think sounds kind of funny, but I want to talk about the world's greatest detective. The world's greatest detective. We'll talk about detective this morning. Before I read the scripture and tell you who it is or what it is, you think about some of the greatest detectives you've heard about down through your life. You hear about, you read about in school and hear about growing up, and you just about half of the TV shows today, and always have been, has been about detective work, police shows, murder mysteries. They say the greatest detective of all time has been Sherlock Holmes. That's what they say. And you got detective shows like CSI, stuff like that, at crime scene stuff. I never do watch those particular ones. They show too much blood and guts and gore, and they show them going up inside somebody's body and their skull and pulling a bullet out of their brain. I don't need to see all that. I'm going to name off a few of them, see if y'all recognize some of them. Rizzoli and Isles, and they got Brenda Lee Johnson on the closer. The Shield, NYPD Blue, Andy Sipowicz, them good ones. They got detective. Y'all remember detective Steve McGarrett from Hawaii 5-0? Boy, he's a handsome cuss, wasn't he? Inspector Clouseau, the Pink Panther. Boy, he's a good one, wasn't he? You ever watch that? Boy, he was goofy, wasn't he? Harry Callahan. You remember him? Boy, he's a good detective, wasn't he? Well, he walked softly and carried a great big 44 Magnum. He solved some crimes the easy way. He'd be eating a hot dog with one hand and shooting bad guys with the other. That's my kind of detective. And then you had Detective Joe Friday from Dragnet. Remember that show? Remember Detective Sonny Crockett and Tubbs off Miami Vice, that cool music? And they're the ones that started the fad walking around with shoes on, no socks. They was cool, man, back in the... Was that early 90s? Man, they was just too cool for their own good. Them guys were. And then they had... I never watched it. Murder, She Wrote. That was too sick to even watch. And Magnum P.I., boy, he was the one cool dude, wasn't he? He was just pretty to look at, wasn't he? Amen. I think a lot of women watched him because he's just handsome. Had that pretty mustache and all that stuff. And then you had Kojak, Mannix, and Barnaby Jones, and Cannon, and the Rockford Files. And who could forget two of the greatest detectives of all time, Scooby-Doo and Inspector Gadget. Amen. But anyway, I want to talk to you about the greatest detective of all time. And that's in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. Numbers 32 and look at verse number 23. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. The greatest detective there is in the world that'll find you no matter where you go, what you do, who you're with, no matter where you're at, no matter how long it lasts, sin will always catch up with you. I don't care who you are. No matter who you are, how rich you are, it don't matter. You can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all the time. You can fool all the people some of the time. But you can't fool God any of the time. And sin will always find you. It'll always show up. It'll always catch you. You'll always pay for it. It'll always find you. You can't get away with sin. Sin always, it's like a microorganism living inside your body and inside your brain, inside your mind. It'll follow you to the end of your life, and sin will always show up in your life. Sin will find you, brother. It's like a menace. It's like one of these detectives. It'll find you. It'll track you down. There's no way you can escape it. You can run, but you can't hide. You can't get away from it. Sin will always be on your trail. It'll follow you. It'll track you down. It'll seek you out in the dark places of your life. No matter where you go, who you with, you might think you got everybody fooled. You might think you got it figured out. You might think you got it hid. It's tucked away in a private corner of your life. But sin will always find you out. It will. You can't get away from it. First of all, when I say sin will find you out in your conscience. The Bible said in Proverbs 28 verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. You know why wicked flee? You know why the wicked flee? And they're on the run, and they're traveling, and they're moving about, and they're running, and they're traveling, and they're moving, and they're doing things. It's because their conscience, they can't be still. Their conscience is eating and gnawing and chasing. And everywhere they go, their conscience is on their trail. Psalm 51:3, David said, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." The problem is, brother, listen, no matter where you go, and no matter where you try to hide, you can try to drown yourself in a bottle of Jack Daniels, or you can try to eat pills, or you can take meth, or you can have an illicit affair, but no matter what you do, listen, you cannot run away. You cannot escape your conscience, no matter where you go. Your conscience will be there waiting on you, no matter where you go. Your conscience bothers you because you're trying to live two lives. You get up in the morning, you put that mask on, you clean up, and you go out, and people see what you want them to see, and they hear what you want them to hear, but deep down inside, there's the real you doing that stuff that you don't want anybody to know about. Everybody, listen, everybody in the world sees what you want them to see. But brother, listen, there's the real you in that deep, dark secret. Maybe it's something you're doing on your computer, or something you're watching on television, or something you're reading in a book, or a person you're talking to on the job that you shouldn't be talking to. That sin that you've got in your life, you might have it hid, or you think you do. But I want to tell you what, it'll find you in your conscience. It'll take your sleep. It'll take your appetite. Brother, your conscience will eat at you and gnaw at you. It'll torment you day and night. It'll drive you to drink. It'll cause you to take pills. It'll send you to the doctor. It'll send you for therapy. It'll make you do things you never dreamed you thought you'd do. Because your sin will find you out in your conscience, you'll never have any peace. Psalm 44:21 said, "Shall not God search this out? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart." You got secrets in your life and little things that nobody knows about, but this detective I'm talking about, sin is tracking you and following you everywhere you go. Listen, there's people who's committed terrible, horrible crimes, and they've got away with it maybe, and they've maybe fooled everybody, and they beat the system, but they still got to go home at night and go to bed and get up the next morning, Brother Jeff, and look in the mirror when they brush their teeth, and they got to look at that face knowing you're the man that committed murder. You're the man that stole. You're the man that ripped everybody off. You're the sorry, low-down thief. You're the adulterer. You're the adulteress. You're the man that stole somebody else's wife. You're the one that's a crook. Listen, I'll tell you, you cannot escape that. That's your conscience. You've got to live with it. Brother, sin will track you down. Sin will find you out in your conscience. You can't escape it. You can't run from your conscience. If you had the money, you could get your ticket. You ever see these movies where people steal, rob a bank, or cheat somebody of a bunch of money, and they'll take off to the Bahamas? But you get down to the Bahamas, and you're living, sitting there on one of those beaches, kicked back in a recliner or one of them beach chairs, drinking one of them drinks with a little umbrella in it. But you're sitting there, and them seagulls flying over, and the waves are coming in, and everything seems perfect, and the pretty women walking by. But after the new wears off of that, there's a deep gnawing down inside you. Your conscience went down there with you. When you got off that plane and checked into that motel, and you got there and you got everything got quiet, and you hung your clothes up, and you thought, oh, it's a done deal. And you dust off your hands, and you thought, oh, it's all took care of. I got away with it. Oh, brother, I want you to know that you lay down at night to get real quiet, you flip the lights off, and lay in there in that dark room, you can hear your own heart beating, and through your eardrums, you can hear it thumping, because it's your conscience. It's your conscience following you. Satan will find you out in your conscience. You ever read, when he was in school, they used to make us read stories. You ever read any Edgar Allan Poe? I don't recommend reading like this from the pulpit. You ever read Edgar Allan Poe? He's a demented rascal. He wrote that story, The Telltale Heart. You ever read that? Anybody ever read that? This guy kills the guy he's living with. And he hides him under the planks, under the floorboards. And a neighbor heard the cry, heard him scream out when he killed him. So the police shows up. And he's sitting there in a chair, and the police come in. They were talking. He's like, well, no, I heard a noise, but I don't know what it was. And they're sitting there over the dead man. And they're drinking coffee. And they're sitting there talking. The police just get casual and talking. And the guy's sitting there, and his conscience got to bother him so bad, he thought he could hear the guy's heart beating. He thought he could hear the dead man's heart beating. And it's his own conscience. He could hear his own heart beating. And he finally flipped out and said, okay, why are you tormenting me like this? You know I killed him. You're just trying to drive me crazy. And he jerked the floorboards up, and the cops was, they was just surprised. They didn't know the dead man was laying there. The guy's own conscience told on him. It'll follow you. You can't get away from your own conscience. You can run. You can get away from everybody. You can hide from me. You can hide from your wife. Hide from your mom and daddy. Hide from your husband. Hide from your kids. But no matter where you go in this world, your conscience is there waiting on you. Secondly, your sin will find you out in your morals. Psalm 14:3 said, they are all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. He said, they are all together become filthy. Become. Did you know sin will degrade you? Did you know it's sin? Everybody here that got saved a little bit later in life, and I got saved when I was 20. That's a young man. Everybody here that's got saved, that's got just a little bit of age on them, that got saved, that messed around in sin a little bit, will tell you that sin is a progressive thing. And the more you're in it, the dirtier you get. And the longer you're in it, the more stuff you'll experiment with. And the longer you're in sin, I mean the dirtier and the nastier and the deeper you'll get in, and the more you'll experiment with, and the more you'll try, and the crazier you are, and the more demented you get. Brother, I want to tell you, sin will find you out in your morals. You'll look back one day in your life, you'll say, my God, I can't believe what a filthy, low down piece of trash I've become. Tell you, sin works in three phases. Number one, you're a sinner by nature. You're born that way. And then secondly, you're a sinner by choice. You start choosing things. And after a while, it just becomes a lifestyle, and you're just a sinner by habit. You just do it just because that's just a part of who you are. You drink, you take pills, you smoke dope, you have sex with people you shouldn't just because that's what you do. Y'all following me right now? Amen. You drink Dr. Pepper because that's just what you drink. Well, when you're a sinner, after a while, you just do certain things because that's just what you do. That's who you are. Are y'all listening? Sin will find you out in your morals. Listen, I've had people sit and talk to me and cry and say, preacher, I would have never dreamed that I'm doing the things I'm doing. Can I tell you a little story?
I went and visited a man here a few weeks ago. Me and my wife and daughter, I made them sit in the car. And I walked down this little path to his little trailer. And went and saw this man. I ain't going to tell you any details about his life other than this. This man came to the door and let me in. It was the nastiest place I've ever been in, ever in my life. I've been in some nasty places. And he let me in. He couldn't get the door open quiet. He just had on a pair of jockey shorts, and he's a man about 60 years old. Let me in the house. He's nasty. Hadn't had a bath in I don't know when. And I got in the door, and there's dogs everywhere, trash. You ever seen that show, Hoarders? I can't watch that show. It's about making me want to throw up, and I got an iron stomach. You can ask them. A rat can run across the table, and I can eat. Don't bother me. You can throw up on the floor while I'm eating. Lauren gets up and goes and pukes while we're eating. It don't bother us. We keep eating. Just don't puke in my plate. Throw your chunks over here, honey. But now that I got sick that day. And he let me in there. He sat in his underwear and he ain't got but one leg. And he ain't had a bath and no telling when. And there's bugs everywhere. Cockroaches and flies and fleas and mites. And these flies were flying real slow. I never seen flies. It was just, and there's all around us and there's bugs crawling on me. It was horrible. And I knew this guy from the time I was a kid. I've known him my whole life. And I showed my wife when we got home pictures of him. She's seen him before. When he was a little boy, when we was growing up, you know who he looked like? He looked like Ricky Nelson. Anybody know who that is? Ozzie and Harriet. Exactly like Ricky Nelson. Every girl in our neighborhood went bonkers over him. Had to have him. Wanted him. You know what happened to him? Three-letter word. Sin. Sin took him down the road so far, they ain't no turning back now. The only hope for him now is a miraculous touch of God. God's grace is the only hope. Only hope for him now is a miracle. You hear what I'm saying? This young man used to have everything. He had a good paying job, nice house, beautiful kids. Not so much a good wife, but he had a wife. Had a great paying job, had it all. Had everything, nice cars in the yard. Nice looking man, I mean a good looking guy. Clean, he was so particular. I mean he dressed up to go everywhere. He'd about dress up to go work in the garden. Particular, you wouldn't believe it's the same guy. Do you know what happened? Sin found him out in his morals. Somebody one day turned him on to some real, real hard-hitting marijuana, son. It kicked him in the britches. He'd smoked some before, but not like that. And then it escalated on into some LSD, and then it went downhill from there. Him and the woman started having trouble. And then it's liquor and dope and liquor. And the story has no end. And now he lives alone, that little tiny shack, that little piece of a trailer. And what little bit of family's got is just waiting for him to die. That's all they're doing. Sin found him out in his morals. It'll find you out. Thirdly, sin will find you out in your body. Sin will find you out in your body. The Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. David said, Psalm 38:1, bring to remembrance, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Listen, brother, sin will find you out in your body. You will not sin and get away. You will not sin. You can have a good time. Kids, I preached it and preached it and preached it. And you listen to it. And some of you sit back. And some of you right now sitting here today have got the attitude, I don't care what he says. He can say what he wants to. I'm going to live my own life. Do what I want to. Help yourself, brother. Help yourself, sister. But there will come a day you'll remember what I preached. And you will pay just like everybody else has. Amen. You won't get away with it. One of these days you'll start having aches and pains and you'll start having some things wrong with you and the doctor will start asking you questions and your mind will go back and you'll say, oh, that's because of so-and-so. That's because I did so-and-so. That's because I did so-and-so. Sin will find you out in your body. You cannot drink, smoke, take drugs, have illicit sex over and over and over and over and get away with it. Your body's not made for that. The Bible says your body is made for the glory of God. The Bible said your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And if you defile that body, it'll shorten your life. You'll damage your body. You'll ruin it. It'll stay sick. It'll be ruined. It'll shorten it. And you'll stay sick and have disease and corruption in your bodies, according to the Bible. That's what the Bible said. You'll ruin your life. Sin will destroy it. Ask any doctor. Okay. Forget what I'm saying. Y'all, you're just a preacher. You don't want us to have nothing. Okay. Go to any doctor in town. Ask them. Ask any doctor. Go to an insurance agent. Say, I want to buy life insurance. The first question I ask you, do you smoke? First question, do you smoke? Second question, do you drink alcohol? Right. Why do they ask those questions? Because it's shortening your life, kids. It's killing you. Amen. Do you take recreational drugs? Do you take drugs not prescribed to you? Amen. Do you have venereal diseases? Do you have any other partners besides your husband or your wife? Why do they ask those questions? The same reason that your pastor is preaching his lungs out. Because it's destroying your body. You're killing yourself a slow suicide. That's right. That's why you see on that smucker jelly thing on the news every morning, oh, what's his name gets on there, so-and-so is 104 years old today, and she's married to the same man for 75 years. Never touched liquor, never smoked a cigarette, never took drugs, and lived with the same man for all those years, and went to Sunday school every Sunday. There's a reason for that. That's good preaching. I don't care who's doing it. I don't care if you're up here preaching, bless God, I'd shout amen, brother. Sin will find you out in your body. Amen. You can't sin and get away with it. Amen. I've heard people say, well, I've drunk, like my grandpa drunk white light and all his life. He lived to be 80. What is your point? Yeah. He just got lucky. Yeah. Your grandpa might have lived to be 120 if he hadn't drunk that stupid stuff. Yeah. He might have been the exception. That ain't the rule. What about all the people drunk white light and died at 45? Amen. Sin will find you out in your body. It'll track you down. Went and saw my brother not long ago. My brother, just a little bit older than me. Always healthy, big old robust rascal. Brother Jeff, he's about like Clint, just big, healthy. Not as pretty as Clint, but. And I saw him and he. His legs and arms looked that big round. About like Clint's little girl. Always held it in. He looked pitiful. No muscles in his arms anymore, Brother Sam. It was all I could do to whoop him back in the old days. I mean, it really took some doing. I could do it. It was about 50-50. He'd whoop me half the time. It took some doing to beat him down. I ain't kidding. If I was all jacked up on something, I could do it. But if I wasn't, boy, I'd have to get a surprise attack. But I could do it easy now. Candace could whoop him. I felt so sorry for him. He come to the door wearing a pair of shorts and T-shirt and little old spindly arms and legs standing there just looked like broomsticks. And my big old brother standing there. He wasn't done that to him. Grabbing that bottle every evening at 5:30 and guzzling that mess. Every day of his life for the last 25 years. Ask my family if that ain't the truth. Guzzling that junk every single day and smoking cigarettes just as one right after the other. Listen, if you're hearing you smoke, I'm not browbeating you. I know it's a terrible habit and it's hard to quit. That's why you shouldn't ever start, kids. Ask somebody that does it. It's almost impossible to quit. Don't ever start because it gets in your system and it's about impossible to get off that stuff. Don't start it. It don't make you look cool. It won't keep you out of heaven. It'll just get you there quicker. That's right. Amen. Ask somebody that does it. They want to quit, but they just can't. Well, that's almost impossible. I saw him standing there and I thought, sin's done that to him. And there his wife's middle age and she's looking at an old man. She's living with an old man that's going to kick the bucket here pretty soon. She's going to be all by herself with grandkids to raise. Sin did that to him. Amen. Fourthly, I still feel like preaching. I ain't done yet. Amen. Number four, sin will find you out in your children. Amen. Sin will find you out in your children. Did you know if you keep messing around in sin? Now, you young people, this might not mean much to you because you ain't got kids. You think, I don't care. I'm just going to have me some fun. Yeah, but you're going to have some kids running around one of these days. And there ain't nothing in this world hurts you worse than to think of the damage you might do to your kids. I'd rather die than to think I might hurt my kids. When my kids get sick, everybody, every parent here can relate to what I'm saying. Kids, y'all don't relate to this, but parents do. When my kids get sick, every time I see one of them sick, I wish it's me sick. I'd rather be sick. I'd rather have the flu laying there on the couch and them be up running around playing. I can take it. Lord, put it on me. Let me have it. When Candace gets sick, she gets down in her back, can't hardly move, has to go to the chiropractor. I wish it's me down in my back. I'm a broke-down old man. I can take it. Let her be up healthy, running around playing, doing something. I hate it. Oh, I couldn't live with myself if I thought that my sin and my ungodliness and my rebellion had brought some kind of hardship or something bad on my kids. Did you know there's kids right now in this world and grown-ups, they're living out the punishment of their parents that their parents has brought on them. Lamentation 5:7 says, our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Exodus 25 said, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the fourth, third, and fourth generation of them that hate me. Sad thing. There's children that's going hungry because mom and daddy's on drugs. There's kids right now today, this Sunday, today, don't have food in their bellies. Because you say, God wouldn't punish little old kids just because something mom and daddy did. Well, of course. There's kids right now, I know kids, that's going hungry because mom and daddy's on drugs and alcohol and different things. I know kids. Me and Debbie, just the other day, she looked at some kids. She said, them kids ain't even got a chance, do they? I said, they ain't got a snowball chance of you know where because of them sorry parents. Because mom and daddy won't do right. And they won't work. They won't straighten up and get their act together. Them kids ain't got a chance, brother. That's the sin of those parents, brother. Listen, hey, brother, if you love your kids, you ought at least try to live right and go to church for them youngins' sake. One of these days, you're going to regret how you've lived. Amen. And the punishment you put on them kids. Amen. You see kids at school that don't have good clothes. They don't have good dental hygiene. And they're dirty. And it's all because of sin of their parents. You see other kids got nice clothes and it's not because their parents is rich. It's because their parents care. And you see other kids are dirty. Dirty clothes, raggedy clothes. And their teeth ain't good, and the rest of them look bad. You see, kids in war countries suffer because of what their parents have done. Some kids don't have a chance at a decent life because their parents have bad decisions. You see kids all the time. They don't even know who their mama is. They don't even know who their daddy is. I saw on a cop show one night where this little girl was being swapped back and forth for crack. Crack cocaine, she didn't know who her real mama was. She's like 5 years old. Kids live in those kind of conditions because of the sins of the parents. Listen, brother, sin will find you out in your kids. Listen, you think you're not hurting anybody but yourself, but you'll pay for it, you'll reap what you sow, and somewhere down the road, something bad's going to happen to them kids, and it'll happen to them grandkids, and you might be sitting in a rocking chair right back thinking you got away with it, and it'll come back to you. It'll come back. You might live it up. You might live it up. Live your own thing. Do your own thing. That little boy, that little girl, one day you may have to go down to the jailhouse, stand and look through them bars at him. And he's got that orange suit on with a number on it. And the lawyer may say, there's nothing we can do now. He's in the hands of the law. There's nothing we can do. And the only conversation you'll ever have with him is through a telephone looking through a window. Think about that a minute. That little boy may look at you and say, Daddy, why didn't you tell me this was going to happen? We sat and talked to a girl one night in my office. She was about 15, maybe 16 years old. And her mom and dad's trying to talk to her, and she had got herself pregnant messing around with this old boy. And she looked right at her mom and she said, Mom, I don't know why you're fussing at me. She said, when you was my age, you did the same thing. Conversation's over then. Wasn't a thing we could say. Wasn't a thing we could do. Because Mama hadn't lived right and took her to church. Sin. Took sin 16 years to come full circle and look at that Mama straight in the face. And that Mama dropped her head in my office and wept bitter tears. And that Daddy was sitting there. He wasn't nowhere around back then. That's a long time ago. You might think you're getting away with it. Them little old kids running around, they're safe now in diapers. And they're safe in the playpen. And they're safe in the sandbox. But one of these days, I'm trying to tell you mamas and daddies something. Trying to get you to wake up. Some of you, I'd like to smack you. I'd like to grab you and shake you. I see what you're doing. And I see what you're doing to your kids. I'd like to just give you a good shaking. Because you're doing your own thing. You won't have to go to church. You won't live right. And them little old kids are growing up. And they're watching what mama's doing. And what daddy's doing. Bless God, I'm telling you, you're going to pay down the road. You're going to pay for it. Little boys and little girls gonna come home pregnant one day, and you're gonna have a grandbaby. You're gonna have to walk around, carry around town, and do some explaining. You have to hang your head in shame because you wouldn't come to church on Wednesday night. You wouldn't come to church half the time. You wouldn't be the daddy you're supposed to be. You wouldn't be the. I don't know who this is for, and I don't care. Take your medicine. Amen, brother. Sin will find you out and your children. Hey, brother, you can't sin and get away with it. You may be sitting back one day thinking, I didn't hurt nobody but myself. Oh, no, brother, it will come back. It always does. Always. I'll give you 1,000 illustrations. I know people. I've pastored them. I've watched it. I watched it come around. It always, listen, it don't come back in a week. It don't come back in a month. Takes years. You play around in sin, mess around, fool around. Oh, it don't hurt right then. Years. 5 years, 10 years. Them little kids, you can smack them around now and make them do right. Well, they get 15, 16. Well, they're laying in a casket. And you come to me and you hug me and cry. I've had them do it, people. I know. I've had them bawl on my shoulder and bawl. A bucket of tears. Preacher, where'd I go wrong? He's dead. He's gone. I know where you went wrong. You wouldn't go to church. You wouldn't raise him in church. He's busy doing your own thing. He's out making money, chasing a dream. Amen? I know this is hard preaching, but you need it. Sin will find you out at the judgment seat of Christ. Christian people, we come to church and shout it out and have a good time, and we're looking forward to the rapture, and everybody says it. This thing's about over. I can't wait. I just soon for him to come today. But guess what? As soon as we get raptured, you know where we're going? We ain't going to no mansion. Is everybody here getting what I'm saying? When the trumpet sounds, we're not going from here to a mansion. We're going from here to the judgment. For 7 years, we're going to be at the judgment. You say, I don't particularly care for your preaching. That's all right. You got to face that too. Yeah. What you said about your preacher, you wouldn't listen to him. Thought he's a knothead. Thought he's too hard. You got to face that. Every idle word. Wouldn't go to church. Wouldn't pay your tithes. Wouldn't raise your family right. It's all right. The Bible said 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are open beforehand going before the judgment. Some men's they follow after. When we get to the judgment seat of Christ, it's all coming out in the open, brother. Amen. Every bit of it. Everything you do, everything you say, the way you live. But here's the only thing that's only going to help you and me. It's what you do for the Lord Jesus that you do for Him because you love Him. Yeah. Well, preacher, I come to church 3 times a week and I pay my tithes. But why do you do it? You do it because you're scared of me? You do it because your wife nags you all the time? You as well stay home. Do you do it because you love Him? It's your motive. They're going to strike a match to it. We'll play a big screen up there. That judgment skit we saw, that ain't nothing what it's really going to be like. What about all them people you work with and you see every day and you didn't witness to them, you didn't talk to them, and they're going to grab them and just throw them over the banister? And they're going to be screaming and hollering. And they're going to have a tally. All them people that you missed. What about it, kids? What about it, old folks? Sin will find us out at the judgment seat. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, sin will find you out at the great white throne judgment. Amen. Revelation 20, the Bible said, whosoever is not found written in the Lamb's book of life, cast in the lake of fire. Sin will find you out. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. It's all gonna come out in the wash up there. You can fool me. You can fool this church. Come on, Ben, Ronnie. I'm going to quit preaching in a minute. My voice is about gone. But I want to tell you this. You might have everybody fooled. You might be the deacon's kid. You might be the preacher's kid. You might have us all fooled. You might sing in the choir. You might be the choir director. You might be the preacher's wife. You might have everybody fooled for years. But when you get up there and open that book, you ain't got nobody fooled up there. Because he opens that book, that song, please search the book again, ain't going to be none of that. Because he's going to open that book, and if your name ain't there, they're going to pick you up. The Bible said, bound hand and foot, and cast you into the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels, and there ain't no coming back. Sin will finally find you out. Preacher, would God really do something that bad? He sure will, because he gave his only begotten Son, amen, and the judgment of sin was poured out on him at Calvary. Amen. So God has every right to take every one of us and throw us in the lake of fire. Amen. Every one of us. Amen. It's coming. Let's stand.